The Lord has a word for us today. Our scripture reading, turn in your Bibles. We're going to be there today. We're not going on the screen, so you want your Bible close by, and you want to perhaps be ready to take some notes. And as we study, that God will teach us this morning. We read our scripture earlier. David, thanks for that, and thanks for serving with me today. Our scripture reading from Matthew chapter 26 gives us a few insights of what was going on. This is a time that the Passover celebration, Jesus and his disciples are up there in the upper room. They are there, before that moment, they're getting ready and they were setting up things. But here in this chamber, as the Lord was wanting to just pour out his everything into the hearts and minds of the disciples, there was this sorrow. They were sorrowful because Jesus started talking to them in the language saying, "One of you will betray me." That was very tough. But he needed to mention it. And by the way, as the disciples heard this, they were very sorrowful and they started to ask, "Lord, is it I?" And that question, we are told in the pen of inspiration, that it went through the room and each one asking, interestingly, as the more or less the 11 of them kept asking, "Is it I?" And they asked, Judas didn't say anything. He was still there and listening to the others, but obviously it seemed now as if he realized that he's been pointed out in a gentle way, but at the same time, you know, in verse 25, when he said, "Master, is it I?" we're told that he asked only because the others were asking. And he felt a little bit as if I need to ask as well because the others are asking this. It wasn't that deep sincerity and honest heart saying, "Lord, I don't want to do it. Help me." No, it wasn't that. It's just because the others asked, then he went in and asked as well. But notice, the others were saying, "Is it I? Is it I?" And Jesus says, "Well, the one that dip it." You notice Jesus has been so gentle all the way. He didn't point out, he didn't say clearly, "Listen, clear-cutly," or anything like that. He still just gently say, "The one that dip it with me." And then he went on to say, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written, but woe unto him that..." He just kind of talk about the one that will betray, and he still kept it. But then later, it's like the hypocrisy that came out, knowing, and instead of trying to really make it right, he went ahead just because the others asked, he asked as well, "Is it I?" And the Lord, it was like, there's, you know, no way to hold it anymore by just saying, "Thou hast said." You have said it. Jesus has been very gentle during his ministry. And he has called us to the ministry of gentleness, by the way. And here we are seeing in our story this morning how it was a sad time. It was a moment when he wanted to just share and give the best to his disciples. We see here that he needed to let them know that we are in trouble. And in the end, the rest of the story helps us to see how things took place. But I wanted to just use this backdrop to share a little bit. And I have 10 things I'd like to say this morning about the experience of Judas. Who was Judas? 10 points I'm going to share this morning. And this is the point of our message today, is to leave here, starting with the preacher, is to leave here saying, "Lord, do I have any of these things? And if I have these things, Lord, help me that I can lay these things at your feet." And this is what we want to do this morning. Just look at some important factors and what was affecting. Why did Judas reach this place or this stage? You see, he didn't just arrive at that place where he wanted to betray the Lord. There was a trend. There were some things that were held on to, and that's what I want to talk about today. So, in the book of Mark, chapter 3, go there with me. You will see a few gems, a few things in the Word of God. Mark, chapter 3. And my plan is to do this in 30 minutes, so let's go ahead and get into the Word and put this together by the grace of God. So, in Mark, chapter 3, here's what we have. Mark, chapter 3, and verses 13 on down. The Bible says, "And he goeth up into a mountain," that's Mark 3, verse 13, "and calleth unto him whom he would." Watch this. "And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder." We know that. "And Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house." A little bit of background to this. You will notice in several places, time won't allow us to just go by and pick each instances, but you would remember at the time Jesus is walking by the tax collector, by the desk, and he was sitting down. What's his name? Matthew. And he called Matthew to follow him. You would remember when he was by the seaside and he saw the men fishing, and what were their names again? Peter, right? Simon Peter. Yeah? And here we see some of course, his brother John was there, and some other, Andrew was around. Andrew was there as well, and James and John, the brothers, were around. So Peter somehow got in the mix, as Jesus called him, "From henceforth thou wilt catch men." There are several circumstances you will see specifically how he was calling them. Philip got involved, and then later he saw, you know, just something in each of these men that he wanted to use to do a great work. Now, do you remember a point when some men that were following John, and then they went to Jesus and said, "We want to follow you, you know, where are you going?" And then he kind of started telling them, "The foxes have holes and the birds have a nest, but the Son of Man have nowhere to place his head." Through the study of the Word and inspiration, we are told that Judas didn't receive a direct call from Jesus. He saw what was going on. He saw the miracles. He fell in love with what Jesus was doing. Watch me. Don't miss me today. He fell in love with what Jesus was doing. And Jesus actually was a part of this group that acts when Jesus replied, saying, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, the Son of Man have nowhere to place his head." We are told that Jesus was actually pointing out his poverty to Judas. Jesus was trying to tell him, "My friend, I don't have what you're seeking. Watch me. Don't miss. I don't have what you're seeking." And so therefore, he continued as he said, "The Son of Man have nowhere to place his head." But Judas decided, "Okay, I want to go. I want to go." It wasn't that direct call where Christ, Matthew, come. And all these, he wanted to be associated, he saw what was going on, and he plunged closer to be with Jesus. The motive wasn't all right. But even so, Jesus decided, you know, "I will minister unto him." This is the Jesus we serve, beloved friends. It doesn't matter who we are, where we are, what's our condition, he is ready to minister unto us. So, while Jesus was preparing the disciples for their ordination, one who had not been summoned urge his presence among them. Watch this. He urged himself among them, put himself in the mix of things here. It was Judas Iscariot, a man who professed to be a follower of Christ. He now came forward soliciting a place in the inner circle of the disciples. See this? This is coming from Desire for Ages, by the way, page 293. Write it down and go back. You can reflect on it. 293, paragraph 2. So he urged himself and soliciting a place in the inner circle of the disciples. With great earnestness and apparent sincerity, he declared, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Watch those words. And then let's reflect on how many times we say that to Jesus. "Master, I will follow thee wherever you go." Jesus neither repulsed nor welcomed him, but uttered only the mournful words, "The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to place his head." That's Matthew 8, verses 19 and 20. Judas believed Jesus to be the Messiah. Watch this. Watch what got his attention first. The Messiah, and by joining the apostles, he hoped to secure a high position in the kingdom. This hope Jesus designed to cut off by the statement of his poverty, saying, "Hey, I have nothing, my friend." So the disciples were anxious, watch this now, for Judas to be a part of the 12. Judas had a great, had this great influence upon the other disciples. You know why? They saw the ability of Judas. I'm setting the foundation here. Don't miss me. I think the Lord wants us to be so careful when He has given us amazing abilities. Because we are tempted to think because of my ability, I am such a great person. And so the disciples were anxious that Judas would be among them because he was of a commanding appearance, by the way. We're told he was of great stature. Where he's of great stature, a man of keen discernment and executive abilities. So great, they saw in him, man, this guy is a great leader here. Executive abilities, and they were surprised that Jesus received them so coolly. Like, not with, like, this great excitement. You see, Jesus is not moved by our achievements. And so they were thinking, man, Jesus, they were like, how didn't he, like, receive him in a grander manner? So for them, they were like, this is a little bit appalling. We would expect that the master would greet him, invite him in with greater welcome and give him a great spot or something. They were excited because of the abilities of Judas, and they thought by this ability, the work could even be more advanced more quickly because this man is a great man. And therefore, Jesus took it very easy, and he just kept his cool. The history of Judas represents the sad ending of a life that might have been honored of God. You see, God wants to honor our talents. God wants to do great things in our lives, but you see, greatness doesn't come because of our achievement. Greatness comes because of what God is able to do in and through us. And so as Jesus saw Judas and all the other disciples, what he wanted to really do is to pour out his life into them that they would be able to impact the world forever. Very sadly, when Jesus returned to heaven and poured out his spirit on the disciples, Judas was not there to enjoy that power and to be a blessing. Imagine, because of what we know so far about him, imagine if he was there and received that power from heaven, how much his heart would be lifted up and thinking that he's so powerful. By the way, during all this time, In the time that he was close to Jesus, Jesus was trying everything to save him. And so, the love of mammon or idols or self overbalance is love for Christ. Through becoming the slave of one vice, he gave himself to Satan to be driven to any length in sin. He pretty much gave up the grand opportunity to be one with Christ. This morning, I want us to understand how much God loves us. He loves us to the point that it doesn't matter what vice or whatever we are cherishing, he's inviting us to give over these things to him. And so as we look at the 10 things that affected the life of Judas, I want us to reflect in our own lives to see where we are today. Who was Judas? Number one. Naturally, he had a strong love for money. That's number one. Naturally, a strong love for money. There's a Judas in the house. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, we have a beautiful verse there. If you want to go there or just write this down, we're going to look at several verses. Each point has a very pointed verse that helps us to understand what God really wants for us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you look with me at verse 10, the Bible says this. Verse 10. Look at what it says. It says, "For the love of money is what? The root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith," watch that, "and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now, did the Bible say money is the root of all evil? No. The love of. So what is this love of money? What is this love of money? Is it where it is so strong in our heart? It is so, we've placed it on such a high scale that we will do whatever it takes to get it. Do you see? The love of it. It's not evil in itself, but the love of it that we will do anything, even sell our soul for money. That's the love of money right there. That money or whatever gain takes the place of our love of God. This is the love. And number one, naturally had a strong, not just a love, strong love for money. And that distracted him. Let's move on. Number two, distraction. Okay? So we're seeing the distraction in point number one. Number two, Judas was very critical of others and loved to find fault. Throughout the story and the history of the book, throughout the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read through and you see where Judas was in the picture. Many times Judas behaved as if he really was caring for people, but he had this critical spirit to the point actually that he was always criticizing Jesus. Yeah. Judas actually was in some way trying to turn the disciples from Jesus. He was thinking that the master wasn't doing things the right way. The master, why would he do that? And he was always finding faults and criticizing others. Remember, we need to look in our lives this morning and ask where we are. Is this one of the traits that I have? There's a Judas in the house. Do I naturally or just always see the fault of others? In Luke chapter 6 verse 36, "Judge not that he might not be judged. Condemn not that he might not be condemned." In Luke 6 verse 37. And so here God wants us to really look deeply in our hearts to see where we are and ask ourselves the question, am I a solution to the problem? Am I just the one that's always trying to tear down? Very critical of others and ready to find faults. Number two. That's it. Number three, let's move on here. Judas was highly regarded by the disciples and had great influence over them. And by the way, just for your knowledge, my points came directly from the reading of in several places in the Gospels and also the chapter in Desire for Ages called Judas. Read it slowly at home. That's where I just gathered everything from. Read it slowly at home. The chapter in Desire for Ages, it's called Judas. Judas, highly regarded by the disciples and had great influence over them. Psalm 146, verse 3. There's a verse there, Psalm 146, and we are looking at verse 3. We want to pull out a gem over there, 146 and verse 3. Look at what the Bible say to us today. Highly regarded. And like the praise of the disciples, he liked that he was almost their leader. He was the inspiration for them, if you please. Which nothing is wrong trying to inspire others, but he was very, very happy because they looked up to him in many respects. Psalm 146 verse 3, the Bible says, put not your what? Trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, whom there is no help. So he liked this praise, and we are told we should put our trust not in man or thinking that this person has so much influence over me. I've heard people say, well, because of this person, I will do this if this person says, or if this person is involved. Oh, really? Where is God? Where is God? Because we are told that we are to do each everything that we do it as unto God. And not unto man. But Judas was always looking for the praise of the other disciples. Number four. He himself had a high opinion of his own qualifications. Here we go. He himself, Judas, had a high opinion of his own qualifications. He is thinking because of his knowledge and his qualifications, what he had just this high opinion of himself. Isn't that so dangerous, beloved friends? It is so dangerous to think. By the way, Proverbs 3 verse 7, that's the verse that goes with that point. You can write it down, Proverbs 3 verse 7. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In his own eyes, in his own mind, he thought that he was so good. He thought that he thought so highly of himself. Friends, we are but nothing. But we are in need of Jesus every day and every moment. And if ever a time we reach the point that we start to think that I have so much, I've seen people that believe that because of me or without me, the work cannot move forward. Really? Thought very highly of himself. Think about it today. Point number five. He looked upon his brethren as greatly inferior in judgment and ability. So he looked on the disciples as they all were just inferior than him. He's the man. He's the man. Matthew 23 verse 12. Matthew 23 and verse 12. This morning, we are looking at some points that we want to avoid from the life of Judas. We see his lifestyle and what he cherished. And by God's grace, we don't want to cherish those things. Amen. In Matthew 23, verse 12, the Bible puts it this way. In the 12th verse, it says, and whosoever shall exalt himself, what will happen? He shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall do what now? Shall be exalted. That's God's promise to us, by the way. This is Jesus saying to us, if we exalt ourselves, we will come down. Be abased. But if you humble yourself, I will lift you up. And therefore, he lifted up himself, and saw all the other guys inferior to him in judgment and ability. He thought that he knew it all. He got it. He was the man. And now, point number 6. I told you we're going to get out here soon. Number 6. Judas thought that Jesus' church, the 12 of them, that was his church, you see? The little group there, Jesus' church would be an embarrassment if it wasn't for him. Yeah. Once again, read the book, These Are Pages. It's all in there. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, and at the same time it is sad. It is sad in the point that God was trying to do everything through Jesus to help these things that he was cherishing, but all these things came out. Judas thought that Jesus' church would be an embarrassment if it wasn't for him. That's strong audacity there, by the way. And I have to say, you know, I've met people like that. I have traveled a little bit in different places around the world. And I've met where people just believe that without them, things wouldn't work in the church. That they're so good and they have it all, and that therefore, without me, it wouldn't happen. It would be an embarrassment. And I normally say, friend, you know, to help you with this, if you just die, you would see how the church moved forward. And it's going to be sad because you wouldn't be around to see how the church moved forward. But if you believe that without you, the church can't move forward, just die. And the Lord replaces you in a minute. Because the work of God depends on no man. And God's work, no man should ever think that without me, this won't happen. It doesn't matter what preacher you are, what singer you are, God's work goes on without you and me. And so he thought so highly that without him, the church would be an embarrassment. What a shame, because Judas was deceived in his own heart, because he cherished these thoughts. And he started living it out. And Jesus is so wise in his wisdom and caring and so gentle and was doing everything to save Judas. And when the Lord Jesus allowed Judas to be the treasurer, it was a test now to help him to even get closer to Jesus. Because you see, Jesus would have to reason at times with Judas. Okay, Judas, we have the poor here. We need to take care of him. Judas, we need to get some fruits and some grains because we need to travel through Samaria. We need to take this journey. And therefore, you see many times in the Bible as you're reading through, it would say, well, for example, Jesus was at the well, but some of the disciples, they went out buying food, you see? So they needed, and Judas was in charge of this. He needed to calculate and organize the treasury and make sure things are in line. And Jesus gave and allowed him to take the highest position. To really work with the funds, and it was a test of faith. By the way, we are told that Judas, because he was, you know, organizing things for the poor and buying food for the church, for the disciples and Jesus, and organizing all of that, Judas thought that, man, I'm doing more work. I'm paying myself. He did it. He paid himself extra because he thought he was doing extra stuff. He thought he had the administration to do all of this, so he would literally take out portions for himself. While Jesus handed over to him so that to prove his faithfulness and to help him to get closer, he actually used that to take himself higher. What do we do with the gifts of God? What do we do with what God has given to us? Do we abuse the things of God? It's a frightening thing, my friends. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Look at this. Romans chapter 12. We're on point 6. Judas thought that Jesus' church would be an embarrassment without him. Romans chapter 12, and we are looking at verse number 3. Romans 12 And verse 3, look at what the Bible says, beloved friends, this morning as we contemplate the problems or the issues that affected Judas and led him down in the valley. Friends, today we don't want to make the same mistakes. Amen. Verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself, what? More highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt with every man the measure of faith. Notice what the Bible says, not to think more highly than we really are. And that was his problem. He's thinking without me, it's a mess. Oh boy. Without me, it's not going to work. Number 7. Let's bring this home together today. Number 7. In his own estimation, he was an honor to the work. In other words, the work is honored to have me as a part of it. In his own estimation, it was an honor. He was an honor to the work. What do we call that? I heard the word, yeah. It's pride. He was very proud. So think about this. Where am I? Lord, where am I? Am I proud? Lord, is pride lingering in my heart? Am I thinking that I have so much and that my talents are so great? I am doing so much that it is, I mean, you should be happy that you have me. I've heard people say that. You should be happy that I'm here because without me, you know, that was Judas. And that was what he cherished. Thinking that without him, the work wouldn't move forward. What a sad mistake. Philippians 2, write it down. Verses 5 on down says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Jesus. Jesus, who took upon himself the form of a servant. Jesus, who was the Prince of Heaven. Jesus was the one that was in heaven and was there and enjoying the work with his Father. Jesus came down. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a what? Servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Jesus, my friends, the highest of the highest, came down being a servant, ready to do whatever God would have him to do. And here we see it, that because of the humility of Jesus, he came and he saved his children. By the way, did you know what was going on up in the upper room? I mean, up there while they were all ready for the Passover, we're told that all of them were sitting down because it was customary that the servant washed the feet. And so they were all sitting down wondering, well, who's going to be the servant? Who's going to serve us today? And when Jesus, that's why Peter exclaimed, that's why Peter said, no, Lord, no. Because he thought that Jesus was too high, that he shouldn't wash his feet. But Jesus, all through these 3.5 years, was trying to teach them, it is not about anything that you have, any education you have, any high position you have, it's about being a servant. I have come to serve, not to be served. And that was where they missed it. And Judas in particular missed that, because he in his mind is thinking that I am the honor for the work. Because of me, the work is honored. Number 8. Judas was blinded to his own weakness of character. And this is a sad place to be in, when you don't know who you are. Dr. Neil Nedley talks a little bit about emotional intelligence. And part of emotional intelligence is know actually your weaknesses. Yeah. So if you don't know and say, you know, I have a weakness to that, I'm going to be super careful. I know that I'm weak in that area, I'm going to be more careful. No, it's when you don't even understand your weakness of character. So Judas was blinded to that. And in Revelation chapter 3:18, Jesus is calling you and I today, just as how we would call Judas, to buy of him gold tried in the fire. Jesus is asking all of us that he wants to give us high salves that we can see. Revelation 3 verse 18. Jesus is inviting you and I today. Hey, you are in need. I'm inviting you to come to me. To receive of my eyesight, understand, look and understand the weakness of your character. I want to be a blessing to you only if you allow me to. And so it was blinded. Friends, we need to have somehow, we need to know a little bit, where is my shortcomings? I'm weak in this thing. You see, the importance of that is when you know exactly how to pray, you know exactly how to ask God or what to ask God for, because of knowing these things, you can say, Lord, I am proud. I see this sometimes, Lord, that I do things that I realize that I'm proud, but I need your help, Lord. Wash this and take this out of me. You see the difference? But if we don't see and we don't know our weakness, then we go on not realizing how wretched we are and how much we need of Jesus. Number 9. Let's close. Judas thought that Jesus was holding back the work and he wanted it to advance faster. Literally. Zechariah 4 verse 6, the Bible says, that the it's not by might nor by power, but it is by the Spirit of God. Many times Judas saw opportunities and he said, why is the Master not doing this? He thought Jesus was holding back the work. And he wanted to get it done by his power. By the way, did you know that Judas was one of the ones that was ready to crown Jesus and to have Jesus on the throne? Because he saw what was going on with the scribes and Pharisees and the leaders, and his hope now, he's thinking, yes, I think he's going to take the kingdom now. Yes, he had great hopes that Jesus would actually take over the Roman power. I have to share something very touching with you, by the way, that the betrayal of Jesus, Judas actually wasn't thinking that by him, what he did in the betrayal, that was it for Jesus. He didn't know. Judas, listen to Judas' game plan. It's funny. Judas' game plan was this. Let me set him up. And right before the leaders, he's gonna show his power. And he's gonna take over. He's gonna sit on the throne. And now I get to sit on his right hand. That was his game plan. That was his game plan, actually. The game plan was, all right, he's going to show them power. When they come to take him, he's going to just show his power. He's going to take over. And now I get to be his right-hand man. So sad. So sad. So read through the chapter in Desire for Ages. It will help you to see that when Jesus didn't retaliate, that's when it started to burn Judas. In the garden, when Jesus didn't retaliate and went with them, he now started to think, what is he doing? Why is he not, you know, taking over here and just take care of these men? And when they saw that Jesus, he didn't answer them. And Jesus was humble like a lamb to the slaughter. Judas followed and he watched him in the judgment hall. And when Jesus was judged and he saw that Jesus was getting into trouble here, Jesus was about to be crucified. Judas ran in and threw the money back. That's why he did that. He threw down the money and said, hey, no, I made a mistake. I did wrong. He wanted to turn back things. But it was too late. Jesus had given him all the opportunities. You know, the moment, we're told that in the moment up in that room when Jesus said, Judas, what thou doest, do quickly. He wasn't telling him to just run out and betray him. He was saying, make up your mind. Make that decision. But the disciples thought that Jesus was sending Judas maybe to buy some things for them. They didn't realize what Jesus was saying to Judas. So right there was still that moment when Jesus wanted to appeal to him. What you do, make up your mind quickly. Surrender, in other words. Surrender. Today Jesus is saying to you and I, just surrender. Just give everything to me. Just allow me. Don't think so highly of yourself. Don't think that you are not able to gain life because you don't have monetary things. And that was the struggle of Judas. He thought that what he really needed was to be so stable, was to have so much financially. But Jesus was trying to say, no, Judas, your only hope is in me, and that's salvation. And finally, this morning as we close, number 10, Judas wanted the credit for putting Jesus as king on the throne. Wanted the credit. And that's the point this morning. Do you want the credit when things are done? Do you just do things because of the credit? Think about it. John chapter 8, verses 49 and 50. Meditate on that at home. John 8, 49 and 50. Jesus wants us to know that we shouldn't have try to have any glory in ourselves or seek any glory for ourselves. He wanted the credit. He wanted the credit for putting Jesus on the throne, and so he was doing everything to put him on. Judas saw the sick, he saw the lame, he saw the work of Jesus in the cities. Judas saw how Jesus was helping. The Savior did not repulse him. He gave him a place among the 12. He trusted him to do the work of an evangelist. He endowed him with power to heal the sick and to cast out devils. The same power that was given to John, that was given to Peter, that same power was given to Judas. It wasn't like Jesus held anything back from him. Jesus treated him just as he would with the 12. But there's a different treatment I'd like to point out this morning. We are told that the way that Jesus spoke to Peter, he would never speak to Judas that way. What's the point? Jesus told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter could handle that. You see, Peter's temperament was so different that he said, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, Lord, I will never leave you. So when Jesus told him, Peter would think and say, oh Lord. It's different. We're told if Jesus had talked to Judas the way he spoke to Peter, it would have crushed him and it would have harmed him. But he knew them so well that he knew how to talk to each one. And so he was so tender, was doing everything to save Judas. Everything. So friends, today, I leave a charge with you. I just want to encourage all of us that we be careful with these 10 things. That we seek the Lord very closely, and that we will allow the Lord to work in our lives. Judas was blinded to his own weakness of character, and Christ placed him where he would have an opportunity to see and correct this. That's what he does to you and I today. He gives us opportunities to correct the situations in our lives. But he didn't grasp or take hold of it. He was blinded by his own selfish desires. Judas was first to take advantage of the enthusiasm excited by the miracle of the loaves. It was he who set on foot the project to take Christ by force and make him king. His hopes were high. His disappointment was bitter. And finally here, I want to leave you with this morning. There's a comparison with John and Judas. John and Judas are representatives of those who profess to be Christ followers. This is coming from Acts of the Apostles, page 558, paragraph 1. John and Judas are representatives of those who profess to be Christ followers. Both these disciples had the same opportunities to study and follow the divine pattern. Both were closely associated with Jesus and were privileged to listen to his teaching. Each possessed serious defects of character. By the way, John did. Oh, a lot. So both possessed it. And each had access to the divine grace that transforms character. But while one in humility, watch this, was learning of Jesus, the other revealed that he was not a doer of the word, but a hearer only. One daily dying to self and overcoming sin was sanctified through the truth. The other, resisting the transforming power of grace and indulging selfish desires, and was brought into bondage to Satan. Do you see? My friends, John had the temper, he will knock you out. When John saw that the guys that were not saying nice things about Jesus, he said, hey, should we just call fire and burn them up? That's John for you, friends. But you see, he allowed the sanctifying grace of Jesus to work and purge his heart, while Judas didn't. So the question for us, am I a John or am I a Judas? Am I allowing God to transform and work in my heart and receive in the truth of Jesus and allowing the transforming power of His grace to work in my life, or I want to continue with my selfish ways? When he asked about the poor, he cared not for the poor, but he considered the liberal offering of Jesus to Jesus when the woman was, you know, pouring out her life on the feet of Jesus. He thought this was too extravagant. You remember when he said, man, we could buy some things for the poor. He wasn't thinking about the poor. He wanted to take it. And then, this is coming from CET 172, paragraph 2. And I close with this. It says, and I saw that there are some like Judas among those who profess to be waiting for the Lord. Satan controls their ideas and they know it not. And this is a tough part. When we're at the point when we don't even realize that the enemy is taking hold of us. I pray today that God will just grant us that grace. That the 10 things that we see here in the life of Judas, that by God's grace we will live differently. That we will not allow the enemy to distract our minds on these things, but that we will live humbly before God. That we will pour out. Don't think of ourselves so high. Don't think it is something small or it's demeaning to humble ourselves. That we will see it as a joy to be humble before the Lord. That we'll see it as a joy that when we have made a mistake, we're willing to say, forgive me, I'm sorry, and let's go forward. That we will not abhor or linger on things that we know God is not pleased with. I pray today that God will anoint us with His Spirit and that God will help us to understand that He's doing every and anything to save us and to give us a new baptism and to transform our lives and to help us to be more and more like Jesus.